This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, hello. Wasn't to be in Tala last week. The Reds fell to Premier League Crystal Palace. Eddie Nketiah, Christian Uche and Yerry Pino's goals. They still didn't manage to outshine Cam Ledwich, making an absolute mockery of Adam Wharton. I found it very apt, Ben, to start the podcast with that because if anyone in the Premier League did it, it would be everywhere. It would be absolutely everywhere. And it was magic.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, to be fair. Probably the most highly regarded England prospect they have in terms of midfield, defensive midfield.
Possibly a World Cup winner in the summer.
Yeah, 100 million player, and Cam just said, I'm going to roulette like it's FIFA Street.
It was magical. It was absolutely magical.
A deep cut there, I feel like. It might be a bit too old. But also, hello, Duty, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Nice to have you back. Dazzler stepped in last week. Did a satisfactory job, Ben.
He's not going to take me out of the team, but like it's good to have him there in case I'm ever injured.
Look, we've actually had a bit going on the last week. Obviously, we had the game with Crystal Palace. Sean Russell's first new signing of the season came in. 2026 season fixtures were announced. And then, of course, we're on Thursday facing into our last Conference League phase game for this season, so it's busy. It's for the time of the year it is. It's busy. Yeah, I have to say, it's still playing football in December is wild.
It's magical. It's what a privilege it is to still have games, to still be able to support your team just before the Christmas holidays. Look, not every team can have it. Only the good ones. To be fair, the other ones are pretty decent as well, but yeah, it's good.
Look, let's go back to last Thursday. We need to,
I will say, before we get there,
go on. Yeah,
some teams have a game tomorrow, others will be listening to a climate activist and buying a new jersey, so I know which one I'd rather be at.
Yeah, jeez. Oh,
digs in early, might as well. It's Christmas.
Didn't even take 3 minutes. Happy Christmas to all. Yeah, so look, defeat to Palace. I think if we had have even scored a goal, it would have been incredible. It probably, at half time, there was maybe a little bit of a worry of, this could become a bit of a pace. And it didn't. We looked a lot more assured in the second half. No injuries for us. Meant we go into the game on Thursday fresh, hopefully, with a fully fit squad. Probably all you could ask for. Massive crowd. The weather was a bit shite, but it has been for all the games in Tala. But good occasion. In a strange way, I enjoyed it. I tried to let myself enjoy it as much as I could. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, no, I think that was the most important bit. It's like you have to let yourself kind of enjoy these moments, no matter what. Obviously, you're going out there to be competitive and win a game, but when you look at everything, I spoke to JJ before the game, or before training today, sorry, and like I said, JJ, you've been here a long time. It's kind of mad how far the club has come. He's like, yeah, I was in the first division when I joined here, and like we were only talking about getting promotion and kind of challenging, being difficult to beat, and now you look at us and we're playing Conference League group stage games. The end of December, we played a team chasing Champions League football. That's insane. Like, people talk about the Reds and how it's a bit mad to consider us even getting into Europe. That was a massive achievement. Win the league, sure, we never did that now. Like, playing against the top teams in the world, and it's just a bit mad. Like, you have to let yourself enjoy that. Because,
of course.
I mean, you'd be insane otherwise. Like, it's,
if you didn't enjoy that on Thursday, look, I know obviously I've mentioned there the weather and stuff like that, but if you didn't enjoy like the occasion for what it was, I mean, you're just pretty miserable, to be honest. Like, we don't like losing. I hate that free hit thing, and you know, oh look, it's just great to be here. I hate that attitude normally, but I mean, Jesus, just take it for what it was. Like, the team that are fourth in the Premier League coming to Dublin, facing off against the Reds, and like, there was times where we in a mad way caused problems. Like,
dude, we should have scored.
We should have. Like, Dickey had a couple of chances over the top where he kind of, that I have to say, that's probably, I know the manager has mentioned about their first touch, and it's been mentioned in a few places, like, you go from kind of good to elite with the technical stuff, but like, any team we'd play domestically, if Dickey gets put in over the top like that, like, he's in. He's one-on-one with the keeper. Nobody's getting next nor near him. And, like, even their, like, their three centre-backs, like, are big units. Like, it was, what, Chris Richards, that fella Lacroix, and Mark A. Like, and still, Dickey was, like, finding himself in space over the top. It's just, it's bizarre. But I thought that physical kind of element, the pace they play at.
Yeah, everything is just, it seems so slow on the telly when you see it. Like, you talk about people watching Premier League games, and you do watch Premier League games, it doesn't seem like they're doing it that quickly. You see it up close, you see Mark A up close, you're like, one, Jesus Christ, he's much bigger than I thought, and two, he moves a hell of a lot faster than he looks like he does on the telly. Like, they're just, everything just seems so easy, and like, it comes like very natural to them. Like, they have their first touch and they've already planned their next four touches.
Yeah, it's a bit wild. Mark Ahe also not a fan of Papa John's pizza. I like a Papa John's myself, but I got caught out a couple of times, Ben, to be fair. after the game, obviously you're hanging around kind of outside the dressing room because you're trying to nab people for media and all the glamorous stuff that has to happen afterwards, but I was starving. I'd gone straight from work, so you know that feeling, Ben, you kind of starts hitting about half six, seven, and you're going, right, I need something here. I didn't get to eat at that time, so I had to, no, I did, I tell a lie, but then I ate again. I ate again after the game, couldn't wait. I was like, no, I'm starving. So I thought, right, this is a private little place, most people had left. I was like, here, grab a few slices of this. And I'm standing there with the pizza box in my hand outside the dressing room, and Ollie Glasner walked by and decided to say hello just as I was horsing a slice of margarita Papa John's into my mouth. So poor Ollie Glasner got greeted with, while I had a mouthful of cheese pizza. And Mark Gahey just looked at me in complete disgust. He kind of looked into the box and went, not for me, and walked off. So there was a few of those strange interactions. I was chatting to somebody who I just thought he was like, you'll notice, Ben, those UEFA games, there's a lot of people hanging around, like around the dugouts and around the tunnel, and you're kind of going, who's he, or like, who's she, what's she doing here? You don't really know. But the fella who I was chatting to turned out to be Joel Ward, who was actually working for TNT on the night, Crystal Palace legend. So there was a few moments where you're kind of going, is this a bit mad? Like, it's very, very strange.
I will say one thing about Palace, if I'll peel back the curtain a bit, dude. There were, like, you, and this is going to sound a bit weird, but I didn't expect it at all. They were really, really nice. Like,
yeah, they were.
Really,
they were.
To deal with. Like, there was no kind of ego about them. They actually, like, Glasner wouldn't walk past you, he'd stop, he'd say something, he'd have a little chat. Like, they're really friendly, like, really, really professional, obviously. But one of the nicer teams I think we've probably ever dealt with.
Yeah, but isn't it funny, like, that we've played against, like, much smaller clubs than them who have been pigs. And then, like, you've those lads who, like, they couldn't have been nicer. The staff were so sound, like, even afterwards, and the players were leaving, they all said bye and thanks, and like that. It probably seems like nothing really, but not a lot of the players do that kind of stuff. Like, they're just off the pitch, showered, gone. But no, I enjoyed it.
It's head Palace were sound. Head down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
So yeah, I like Palace. I'm pro Palace. I hope Palace qualify for Champions League.
But like, say what you will about the game, you obviously want to go and win the game. We didn't do that on the night, but I think we actually gave a great account of ourselves very weirdly. Like,
we did. That's the thing. When you see the goals,
when you look at
the level of opposition,
the level of, like, Palace went to Anfield and won 3-0. Like, that's the level you're trying to deal with.
I looked it up after because I wasn't sure, but I reckon 7 of that starting 11 are going to play in the World Cup in the summer.
I mean, that's kind of says a lot.
There's levels to the game.
But like, you just look, like, you talk about their first touch, you talk about a lot of that stuff. A lot can be said about their goalkeeper, second choice keeper. He's cold. He hasn't had a good bit to do, but that save he makes, absolutely elite, top quality.
Yeah, unbelievable. And look, again, moral victories, blah, blah, blah. I hate all that, but I was certainly very proud after the game. By no means did we, you know, embarrass ourselves or anything of the sort. So, yeah, I was just...
I felt worse after losing 3-0 to Zurich.
Yeah, that one, like, see, myself and Darren talked about it last week. That felt like a bit of a catalyst for, like, stuff that went on, and maybe in a weird way it went full circle, and, like, we played against an even better opposition than Zurich and put in a really good account of ourselves, so.
Yeah, I just think we've kind of grown each game. Like, there's not a game where we've turned up and haven't tried to play football our way. Like, there's been clear game plans laid out. Like, we've kind of stuck to ourselves. We haven't lost our identity in any of these games. It's very easy to not want to go out and play football, and you just sit there compact and try and defend. And we defended when we had to, but there was moments where we got up the pitch, we moved them around, we did create chances.
Yeah, and that's probably Ollie Glasner said after the game. He was surprised how much we actually tried to play, which... I think that serves you well going forward. Like, if you looked at it that way, if you isolated it for the Palace game and said, geez, if we had been a bit more, you know, maybe negative shut up shop stuff. But I don't think that does you any good, hopefully, going into another European campaign next year, a league campaign, I mean. You know, like, trying to play your own way as often as you can in massive games like that is only going to serve you well, I think.
Yeah, especially when you take into account that level of opposition, like, and how elite they are.
100%. Positives from the game, my main one, and I only kind of thought about it afterwards, Boydie playing his first 90 minutes since June, I think it is. I think he played 90 in Galway. That was the last time he's managed to play a full 90, so definitely a positive there.
Really, really, really positive, I think. Look, to finish the season on a high for himself personally, it's deserved. Wonderful, wonderful servant to the club. So you'd feel for him as well, because you know he doesn't want to be out with these injuries, and it isn't nice for him either. So it is great to get him back out there, and obviously it's a good time. Like, you finish up the season strong. You kind of, like, there's not that long between now and pre-season. Like, you kind of just bounce back in.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to see how we deal with that. Obviously, we play Thursday and then that's it for, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the plan is, how long the players will get off. I think if you have too long off, you could get caught in the hop early in the season. Not long enough off, and you're probably risking injuries and stuff like that going into the start of the new season. So, Mauro, it's fair to say, will earn his corn in this pre-season, in terms of keeping lads in shape, knowing when...
You can't have corn. Doesn't digest before a game. No,
sorry. Peppers. Sorry. Yes, yes. And let it never be said that you don't learn something on these trips, Ben. Because I certainly learned something that day in... Which game was that? Was that Rijeka?
Rijeka.
Yeah. Players getting shouted at like children for eating peppers before a game of football. Just... I don't know, wild. Another positive minutes in the legs for Lewis Temple. Again, Lewis, another one, probably hasn't played as much as he'd like.
He actually looked really composed when he came on, I thought.
Yeah, he did. He always does. Lewis is one of these lads, he always kind of looks like he's playing in kind of third gear, and I don't mean that in a negative way, I mean it in a positive way. He's so calm all the time, just never seems fazed. Bit off topic, bit of a tangent here, but Mark Gahey is an absolute moanbag as well on the pitch. Like, it's very funny.
Oh, never away from the referee, being like, oh, come on, please. But he's not even moaning properly. He's like, oh, man.
Like, standing there with the arms out, being like, oh, come on. There was one for a throw-in right in front of us, I remember, and the ref just needlessly made him stop.
It was so stupid, though.
Like, so I stupid.
I agree with him. He was dead right.
And he threw the ball into play, and then as he threw the ball in, he turned straight around to the ref, the arms out, had the little narc on him, and then he just randomly at times in the game decided to go on a little jaunt forward. Just, yeah, he was definitely one playing with the cigar in his mouth, that's for sure. I've mentioned 2026 already. On the women's side of things, Ben, Emily Kraft in the door, first signing. I always like the first sign of being an attacker. You know that? Don't know what it is. It just
kind of shows a bit of fight, like a bit of, yeah, look, we're going for this. We're adding more firepower, and I mean, incredible pedigree.
Yeah, another young player, kind of in that sweet spot. I would have said 23. Like, you're not a. It's not that young that you're kind of saying, look, might take a couple of years, and obviously not north of the 25 mark either. So good age range, I would have said, for a signing. An attacker, came up through German football, switched allegiance to Ireland then. Exciting. I just love, as I say, I love an attacker coming in. She's played in England with Southampton, was on loan at Aberdeen last year. I just have the quote from Sean Russell. He said, we're delighted to have signed Emily. She brings a lot of experience and quality to the team. Interesting he said experience when she's only 23, so it's obviously something he'd kind of seen in her. Emily is a player who plays with high energy and has a real striker's instinct. Her work rate, ability to link play and finish attacks will be a huge asset to the team this season. It's definitely laying a marker down. I think when you're convincing a player to come here from England, I think it's definitely a...
But
dude, Sean's got something about him, obviously.
Yeah, but like, you look at that line about the experience. For someone like so young, like underage international for Germany, you mentioned Ireland, senior international for Ireland, played in Scotland, England. Like, that is some unreal experience to bring into a squad, especially if, judging on the first sign, the age profile looks to be getting a bit younger.
Yep.
So having that kind of experience at that age, that's massive to have. Like, senior international, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. Bring in a few more.
Yeah. Sean Russell's Reds are going to start the season at home to Treaty. Oh, that's got a good ring to it, that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sean Russell's Reds, I like it.
Rolls off the tongue.
It does. They'll start at home to Treaty, which, given his pass, is an interesting start. So... sticking with the 4 o'clock kickoffs next season. So it's a, I don't want to say a nice game, because look, we've spoke on here year on year, the division gets stronger, but you've avoided the kind of big hitters early on, which I think is definitely important. So look, we'll have loads more news around signings and for both teams as it comes into us. On the men's end of things, Ben, for the fixtures, it's a pretty beige opening game, isn't it? Waterford away.
Duty, the omens, as you like to say.
Well, look.
The first two games.
Yeah, for anyone who, we might have a new listener who hasn't got a clue what we're talking about. When we recently won the league, we started away to Waterford. So I do believe in omens.
Was the second game not a home to Rovers?
Yes, correct, it was.
We were actually talking about this morning, and we're like, oh yeah, that was, who scored? And a lot of them were like, yeah, it was Will Jarvis, wasn't it?
Yeah. It is funny when you look back on that year, there's an awful lot of, of course it was him. Of course it was him. Look, when you're talking about the start of the season, it's always important. That's a cliche. But with how we manage this scenario of playing into December, starting again in January, now I have to be consistent. Anytime I talked about Rovers having to do it, I kept saying, it's not an excuse. Professional footballers, You find a way, you find something that works. It's on the staff to make sure it's right. I have to apply to us as well, don't I? It's not an excuse. Like, if we were to have a slow start the next season, you can't turn around and say, oh, well, we are playing into December, can you?
No, I don't think you can. But I don't think anyone, in terms of players, coaches, I don't think anyone here will use that excuse. Like, we've never used excuses before. I don't think we're going to start now. As you said, top level professionals, this is what they want. Every player you speak to, every player I've spoken to today, and every player I'll speak to tomorrow would say, yeah, you want to be playing as much football as possible. You want to be playing into December. That's exactly what you want to do. It's your job.
Yeah, 100%. Our penultimate fixture of the season, Ben, is away to Bowes in what is going to be the final game in what's being called the old Daily Mount. Do we have the potential to do one of the funniest things ever?
Absolutely, and when we do it,
I actually enjoyed when the fixtures came out, the amount of Bowes fans kind of quote tweeting it saying, oh Jesus, Shell's at home, the last game, Daily Mount, what could possibly go wrong? I love the fact we can put that dread into people nowadays. Yeah, I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah,
look,
it's nice.
The main event of this week, of course, it's all kind of built up to this last game in the league phase. It's far from a dead rubber. There's obviously money involved, prize money involved for the club. There's coefficient involved for Shells, not for the league. Couldn't give a bollocks about the league. What were we expecting? Like, I think on paper, the casual fan might look at this one and say, oh, a team from Slovenia, should do well there. These are good outfit, aren't they?
Yeah, they're cup winners. They only won their first league title a few years ago. Like, they're a very, very, very good side. Like, it's like, I know it's, again, it's a cliche, but like, there is no easy games in Europe. Like, I hate to say it's true.
It is true. It's lazy to, you know, look and say, oh, Slovenian team. But when you look at some of the teams around us at the moment, like, I know, look, the Scottish Premiership wouldn't be, it's not in the top 10 leagues in Europe, but like, around us is Rapid, who obviously playing in the Bundesliga in Austria. You've got Aberdeen, you've got Slovan Bratislava, Legia, Dynamo Kiev. Like, they're all teams you could finish above. So it's not a thing that, you know, where all the kind of lower leagues have finished low and the better teams have finished higher. It hasn't been like that at all. It's a bit of a mental competition. I actually like it. I wasn't sure how like a league phase would work, but I think it works a lot better in the kind of Conference League, Europa League, than it does in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think it's the variety of teams, isn't it, nations that you get.
Yeah, and I think Dan McDonald mentioned during the week that it's like six cup finals, because it's all different. You know, you're not doing the whole thing of home and away, and that can get a bit boring. So
I will say, like, looking these lads up, their striker's fairly terrifying.
Oh, no. Fill me and the listeners in, Ben.
When I was looking, it's Franco Kovacevic or Kovacevic, whatever you want to say it. Have you had a look at him?
I can't say I have.
Well, he's 5 goals in 5 games in the Conference League.
Nice.
In 14 league appearances, he has 11 goals, 2 assists.
Oh, magic. Well, I'm gonna make a counterpoint to that. These boys got spanked by Rijeka last week. So I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
As I'm clinging on to something here, Ben.
Yeah, no, cling away.
So, yeah, unfortunately, that lad couldn't have got sent off or, you know, anything like that last week. Yeah, I'm just looking at him here. He looks like a big boy as well.
Yeah.
Ah, look, everyone's a big boy till they run into bleeding Paddy Barrett, let's be honest.
Yeah, and your cam might do a roulette around him. Or break them up. Either way.
Just that cam roulette his way through the whole pitch.
I feel like Cam could do that.
I do actually want to mention as well, I think it's important that it gets the exposure it should get. Johnny Watson, who we all know and love, every year he takes on a charity cycle in Liffey Valley Shopping Centre, does it for something different every year. This year it's in support of Willow Carroll, just trying to raise vital funds for Willow that she badly needs. So it takes place on Sunday the 21st of December. It's from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. It's out in Liffey Valley Shopping Centre. It's a charity cycle. Anyone can hop on. They're stationary bikes as well. You're not cycling around the shopping centre. Usually you get a few guests. Players usually pop in and out. There's usually League of Ireland faces pop in and out. And look, any donations there, I know Johnny will be absolutely delighted. Yeah, there's a link online as well, which we can post, but do get behind it and give whatever you can. Ben, we're nearly there. We're on a bit of an express pod this week because obviously it's pre-match day, so there's an awful lot of stuff going on. What I am going to do is ask you for...
Oh, hey!
Darren, we are live. Darren, we are live.
Duty, that's why you don't put the link in the group chat that I'm in if you don't want me there, you know?
I never said, want you here. I'm buzzing you're here. How are you? What's going on? How? Tell us where you are.
I'm next door to Ben.
No, you've got that wrong. You've got that very wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm definitely not next door to Ben.
How's Slovenia, Dazzle? How's the day been?
Reggie's here, but he won't say anything because, you know, Reggie tight lips.
Yeah, Reggie never says anything.
Nothing to nobody.
Hold on. Does anyone want to hear from Reggie? Here he is.
Evening, everyone.
go back to bed. Back to bed with your Reg.
Duty, I'm sorry for crashing your pod, but I'm actually not sorry now that I think about it.
Yeah, what have you got to add? Come on, you've butted in now. You've joined in. We're half an hour gone. Come on, what have you got for us? Give us some.
Well, who have you nailed and who is still in requirements of being nailed?
Nobody's been nailed yet, actually.
I got the slide dig in 2.5 minutes in, duty.
Yeah, but that's quite tame, really. We haven't actually got to the Richie rankings yet, so.
Oh, now on to the liars.
Yeah, you might be able to chip in on that, but I know that's your favourite part of the pod. Tell us how your travel day was, Dazzler.
My travel day was pleasant. Great buzz on the club charter. Really good feeling. Brilliant to have fans and players and everyone together. It's long. It's a long day. It's a 3-hour flight and then an hour and a half on the bus. And then you don't really get a whole lot of time before training. Mercifully, I don't actually have to do any form of physical activity, but still have to be at training for the pre-match stuff. But that all went well. There's interviews with Joey O'Brien and JJ Lunny on Shells TV at the moment for anyone who'd like to see them. And yeah, there's a really good vibe around the place. I thought maybe it'd be a bit of not another one. We're tired. It's a long season. 50 games, Paddy Barrett. Nearly as many games as Paddy has kids. But there is a really, really nice vibe around the place.
Good. Absolutely glad to hear it. Now, that's all the positive stuff, Dazzler. The floor is yours. Who's your Richie Winter?
I haven't had a long time to think about this at all. I think Reggie has one.
The check-in staff at Dublin Airport this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie's that one.
Yeah.
Come on, explain.
Well, they were late to the check-in and then neither of them knew how to work a computer. So it was a very inefficient check-in.
Wouldn't happen under Larkin's watch.
You know, it wouldn't be inefficient for Larkin. That man would have it on lock.
It was a bit like when Duty did a SoundCloud. There was a terrible fear that it wouldn't work out well, and it didn't. Check-in staff at Dublin Airport, Irish football this week. Bows, I think. Like, is there a comedy award we can give out that we'll be playing in Europe on Thursday, and they'll be listening to a lecture from Greta Thunberg, who presumably must have sailed to Dublin on some kind of big boat, because God forbid she'd get up there on a plane or, be a bit hypocritical about everything. But yeah, there's a deep irony in the fact that Shells fans will be on a European piss-up trip, and Bose fans would be lectured by a little girl to stop having fun in life.
Ah, the ironing is delicious.
Oh, I enjoyed that. For the second I seen you join into this, I was like, oh, great. He's definitely going to cane somebody.
I didn't have anyone to cane. I just thought it'd be funny to see if I could get in. And then I added my screen name as Supplies.
Supplies.
That's Specsavers ad.
It pops up as guest originally, and I said, oh, I know exactly who this is going to be now. He wants to cane the world. I have a bit of a vague kind of Richie Winter. I'm going to just give it to stupid people who don't understand how basic things work.
But, Duty, you're being very, very vague.
By that I mean, right, obviously the fixtures have come out this week, which myself and Ben have just been chatting about. The game in the Aviva between Bowls and Pats. Grant, do whatever you want. I don't really care. It doesn't affect me. Great for the league, blah, blah, blah. I don't really give a shit. But the amount of people who are popping up saying, oh, should be teams from outside Dublin should be allowed to do that. Rah, rah, rah. Anyone can do it. Anybody. Finn Harps could do it if they wanted to. So what are you talking about? That was actually a journalist, I think, said that as well.
Journalists can't take them seriously.
No, who's your man? Oh, I can't think of his name now.
You've narrowed it down there, Duty. We're looking for a male Irish journalist in sport. No, oh, God.
Who's a weapon?
Oh, you've narrowed it down again.
Does he like videotapes?
No. Well, he might. I mean, I don't know. No, he's from Dundalk, I think.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's the one. Yeah,
live it all, really.
Yeah, I mean, how you don't understand the basics is just beyond me.
But Jerry has had a long-running agenda against what he calls the Dublin media, which he says is led by Dan McDonald, who's probably the most prominent football journalist.
He's from Dundalk.
From Loud, yeah.
Oh, you can't beat it. Absolutely great.
I just wanted to piggyback off that one, Duty, and say I wanted to also give it to Bowls, funny enough. But it's just for that stupid match in the Aviva, because they're not even opening the upper tiers. What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just very indifferent to the whole thing. I don't really care, to be totally honest.
Yeah, sure. That's their big day out, isn't it?
What would you think if we played our opening game in the Aviva, though?
Against Waterford?
Well, why not? No, if we were the ones playing in it, what would be the... How do you think it'd go down?
As an away team or the home team?
No, as the away team. Say if next year we played Bowls there.
Yeah, we'd have very little say. Like, it's... They designate the ground, you know? I don't know, but, like, I don't think I'd be against the idea. Like, I'd probably feel that you should have to do something or achieve something to get to the Aviva. I think it probably does cheapen the cup final somewhat.
Yeah, that'd be my take on it.
But if it's a money spinner for Shells and you can look at it and say, that's something that'll pay for the newsstand to be done up, I'd absolutely be able to park those kind of sentimental feelings and say, yeah, do what's best for business.
Yeah, get the dough in.
Who did you compare me to, Ben? I'll come back there to Dublin and beat you up.
Oh, good old Vinnie Mac. Ben, all right, you've given us a Richie Winter. Anyone have a Richie Baker? Anyone want to be positive?
I'm going to give my Richie Baker to Daniel Kelly. He survived a very difficult experience mid-flight. He thought the plane was going to crash.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He was rudely awoken from his nap. I won't reveal what happened, but he was sleeping under his coat. And someone assumed that that was just a code on the chair. You know when you go to sit on a chair to talk to the person in the row behind you?
Yes.
On a plane. So someone sat on Daniel Kelly when he was asleep and woke him up. And I think he thought the plane was coming out of the sky. So I'm going to give it to Dickie because he had a traumatic travel experience today.
Ben, any Richie Bakers?
Come back to me. I'll think of someone I like.
I don't have any positivity, actually. Actually, do you know who I'm going to give it to? I'm actually going to give it to the Crystal Palace. Don't know what you call him. He's like their logistics. He's probably like an operations, something or other. But Palace didn't fly. Palace were due to fly home straight after the game, and they ended up not being able to because there was some technical issue with their plane. And this poor man had to break the news to Ollie Glasner as soon as he finished his media work. And for every question Glasner asked him, that man had already worked out a concrete answer. So Glasner was like, oh, can we stay tonight? Yes, we can stay in the same hotel. Oh, what about the rooms? All the players can stay in the same rooms they're already in. Blah, 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 blah. Your man knocked it out of the park. He had every single answer all ready to go. And getting to hear Ollie Glasner curse was also very funny. Ah, oh, fuck.
Again, Dooley, I'm going to piggyback off that one. I have two. One would be the Crystal Palace kit man. Just a sound fella.
Fucking Santy, yeah.
Yeah.
Dooley, what jersey did you get?
Oh, piss off. I was too busy actually doing something.
You were eating pizza.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I support the kit man one, Ben. It's a good show.
And also, Darren, you could probably give us a name here, but whoever the UEFA fella was organising TV stuff, because he was insane. He was gas.
Yeah, it's very funny. You meet so many people, and through this experience, you realise that Alan Partridge is real. There's like actual people who, like, at some stage, Alan Partridge was based on a real person. Like, some of the people you meet around the bend in UEFA competitions are brilliant. They're great characters. They're just good fun to be around. They're very by the clipboard, but in a hilarious way. I'd also like to put in a rogue shout for Richie Baker. For people who understand football and understand at the end of the season, people leave football clubs.
Oh, and I think we'll leave it at that.
It doesn't always require a running commentary of how.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I can get behind that one.
That one. Yeah, 100%.
Right, man, I think we're there. Dazzler, Reggie, enjoy the game.
Can we give the last word to Reggie? He won't say much. He won't take long.
Up the Reds.
Oh,
That's my line.
Say the line, Ben.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.